away at convention, and so he asked me if I would bring a message tonight. So if you have a Bible with you that you brought, or if you can find one in the pew pocket in front of you, take it and turn to Luke. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. Didn't want to let Bill down there. In the 17th chapter, I'm going to read verses 11 through 19, and I'm not going to make many comments about them. I'm going to pick one verse out of those verses as the theme. We're going to talk about giving thanks tonight. Thanksgiving, the time that we set aside to celebrate that, just a little over 2 weeks away. And this little story in Luke 17, beginning with verse 11, reminds us of thankfulness. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. You follow along in whatever version you have in front of you. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Father, as we turn our hearts and minds tonight to your scripture, let it be an example to us of true thankfulness. And we are indeed grateful for the opportunity to come here to your house to worship together tonight. Thank you for every soul gathered in this building. I pray if there's one here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they've already felt the urge of the Holy Spirit to come to salvation. Now thank you, Lord, for this day we've enjoyed. What a beautiful day. And as we look forward to days that you'll give us in the future, let us always be grateful and thankful for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now there are just two things before we leave this scripture that I want you to look at. First of all, the one man was thankful that he was healed. And he realized he was healed before he ever went before those who could pronounce him healed. In other words, God had healed him, and he gave thanks for that. And the second thing I want you to notice, and this is where you could spend the rest of the time, is that he was a Samaritan. He was not one of those who the Jews normally would be called of God. And so this man was thankful when he had very little to be thankful for in his life. The other 9 apparently were Jews, and none of them gave thanks to Jesus for giving them their health back. Thanksgiving is an outward expression of an inward conscious gratitude to God for the mercy that he's given us. That's an important thing for us to learn. It's an outward expression of an inward conscious gratitude to God for mercies received. We don't live in a society today that is very thankful for what we have. I think, as you'll see, we're going to look at some things here in a moment that steal our thankfulness and gratitude away from us. And it's very difficult in our society, with all of the opportunities and the blessings we have and all the marvelous things that we enjoy, it's very difficult to be thankful. The first thing I wrote down that helps steal your pride is or steal your gratitude is one we looked at in our Sunday school class this morning, and that's pride. It will steal your thankfulness away from you. Some people say, "Nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have." I've heard people say that, and it's a lie, because everything you have, God gave you. And sure enough, we do work hard for things, but the ability to work is given to us by God. Everything we have comes from God. So that's really a falsehood. I earned that reward or that award. A lot of times you'll hear that where people, especially students, they'll earn an award and they'll say, I earned that. I earned that award. Well, again, everything that you have the ability to do, God gave you. So we really didn't earn that. I studied hard for those grades. Well, it's good to study hard for grades and get good grades. There's nothing wrong with that. But who gave you the ability to study or even have the mental aptitude to conceive what the teacher's trying to tell you? We must take ourselves out of the picture in order to be humble enough to have gratitude toward God. God hates that prideful attitude. You remember in Proverbs, the sins that were listed, the very first one was a haughty spirit, a pride-filled spirit. He just hates that. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, this little verse I wrote down, in his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for him. You see, if you fill your heart and your soul with yourself, there's very little room left for God. In order for God to do a great work in your life, you've got to evacuate yourself. You've got to take yourself out of the equation and let him fill you with himself. And he will not fill you with pride. He will fill you with thankfulness and gratitude always, always. The second thing that will steal your thankfulness and gratitude is constant complaining. Boy, I had to talk to myself about this one because sometimes I tend to complain. Some things that we'll complain about are things that we wanted to see done that don't get done, or opportunities that we wanted to have that we perhaps miss. And so we begin this poor me attitude, and we gripe and complain. You know, when you gripe and complain openly, people really don't want to hear it, do they? They really don't want to hear it. And so often when we enter a conversation, and we mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, think about how many times you use the words I and me and my and mine. You know who does that the most? Two-year-olds. And I think most of you in here are a little far advanced from two-year-olds. So we all need to grow up and take ourselves out of the picture. Sometimes I'll get in conversations with people and I want to say something, but I can't get a word in edgewise because they're telling me all about their stuff. And, of course, the pride in me wants me to tell them about my stuff. You see, we go back and forth, back and forth. And that will steal our gratitude away from us. We're surrounded by complaining and grumpy people, and I'm one of them sometimes. I really am. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the 33rd verse, Paul wrote this, bad company corrupts good character. It is very difficult for you to live a life that magnifies and glorifies Jesus in thankfulness if you're surrounded constantly by people that are of low character, bad company. Now, we have to mingle with the world, and there's probably someone you know that needs to know Jesus, and you need to be a part of their life so that you can lead them to Christ or have a positive influence on them. But that old saying, birds of a feather flock together, it's pretty true. If you find yourself hanging out with people of bad character on a continuing basis, pretty soon you'll find out that your thankfulness and gratitude diminishes. I remember when I was a little boy, I know that's hard to believe as old as I am, but I remember I was about 7 years old and I found me a new friend at school. And that little fella, I don't know whatever became of him, but he had the worst language for a seven-year-old you could believe. He said words that I didn't even know how to pronounce again, and I'd never heard them before in my house, and he routinely did them, and people kind of looked up to him. So I thought in my mind, since I was a new Christian, I'd been saved a little while, I'm going to buddy up to him, and my language will rub off on him, and he'll start talking like I do. You know what happened? I let her fly at my house one day with a word I heard him say. And I barely made it to my 8th birthday. I thought my dad was going to kill me. You see, his bad character rubbed off on me instead of my positive influence rubbing off on him. And it doesn't change no matter how old you are. If you play too close to this world, you wind up looking like it. And this world is not grateful and thankful for the things of God. If you leave this room and go out in that world and you get amongst worldly people, you will seldom ever see an attitude of thankfulness among them. It's rare. It's not completely gone, but it is very rare to see an attitude of thankfulness. Time spent with folks like that will negatively influence us. Now, complaining can become a habit. Do you know anyone? I don't mention it or look around at anybody, but do you know anybody that complains enough that that's what you recognize when you see them? You think, oh no, here they come. Because they're going to be complaining about stuff. And sometimes we don't even realize it when we're saying these things. And so I wrote down some things that we complain about at church so that you can kind of resemble these remarks. It's too hot or it's too cold in here. Did you ever say that? Yeah. Sometimes I see some of you with wraps on your shoulders and coats over your legs and everything. Obviously, it's a little too cool. And then sometimes I see people doing this, just fanning like everything. But see, you're only in here for just about an hour. And you'll go to a high school football game in late October or November when it's raining and about 35 or 40 degrees and just yell and holler and carry on and jump up and down and just have a big time. Or you'll go deer hunting and freeze to death in a stand. Uh-oh. I hear mumbling and grumbling back there. See, we complain about things without even realizing it sometimes. And then you remember a few years ago, those of you that have been in church for a while, when church music changed, we left off the hymns and we began to sing what our pastor used to call scripture songs. They later became praise songs. And then there was a battle began. And in our service, we sort of mix it up. So there'll be less grumbling and complaining. But I'll tell you something, and I'm not against praise songs at all, but there is tremendous value in the stories that hymns tell. And I fear our young generation, even as old as my boys are, they have grown up without a lot of that, and they've missed some of those great hymns like we just got through singing. There truly is power in the blood of Jesus. And I think that needs to be heard more. But we complain about the music. It's not the kind we like. And then worst of all, it can be too loud. Oh, it hurts my ears. See, I heard somebody say that. Donna carries earplugs, not in here. But when we were at Branson a few days ago, I looked at her and I said, boy, that music's loud. And she said, no, it's not. Got my earplugs in. I thought, that's great. She's not complaining about the noise. She's just got her earplugs in. She's prepared. And then the sermon length. Oh, my goodness. In fact, I better back up and look at this clock. The sermon length. My goodness. You know, if it's way too short, people complain. They didn't think they got their money's worth. But you just let it go over about 5 minutes or so and folks start looking at their watches. And, you know, those Methodists are going to beat us to Cochran's if he doesn't hurry up and get through here. I even heard somebody say one time, well, the Assembly of God leading me there now. I mean, they don't get out to 12:30 or 12:45, and they're going to be there. It's just hopeless. No, we tend to complain, and when you complain, it takes away your thankfulness and your gratitude for what you have. And it really does. And then a third thing, and I'll be through with the negative, we'll start building up on some positive things. The third thing that takes away your thankfulness and gratitude is affluence. Affluence. On Wednesday nights, we have started talking about our personal finances, and we'll begin that again this Wednesday night. And it's important for us to do that. But we live in probably the most affluent society that this nation has ever known. And even if you're here tonight and you're having difficulty with your finances, you are better than probably 80 to 90% of the rest of the people in the whole world for what you have. The other night we got home and we'd been on the road from Branson, and it had been raining, and we got home about 7 o'clock, and our electricity was off. And we were tired, and there were no lights or nothing, and so we sat around there and visited a little while, and sure enough, in a little bit, it came on. And we have a rich neighbor up the road. He lives about a half a mile from us, and just a precious man. I think the world of him, but he built a new house, and he had one of those great big old Generac generators put in with a propane tank as long as from here to that wall. And I could hear that thing running from our house, which was dark. And I told Donna, I said, well, he's got lights. And, you know, I'm sure he was thankful for that. But when you don't have something like electricity for just a little while, you really miss it. And you realize how precious it is. And then you look around at the rest of the world where they have it very seldom or not at all. And you understand how great a nation we truly live in. Minor inconvenience to not have electricity for an hour or two or even a day. Our forefathers lived without it ever. They didn't even know what it was, and they got by just fine. You realize that most of those hymns in that hymn book in front of you were written by people who lived in the dark. They had candles and coal oil lamps and wrote some of the greatest hymns that history has ever had. And we are so blessed in this nation. We have such affluence. Without a doubt, there are many of you in here tonight who are already planning or have planned to go somewhere after this service is over and eat with some of your friends. And that is a wonderful thing. But you know, there are most of the people in the world don't have enough money to have food even to feed themselves tonight. What an amazing thing it is. We live in such an affluent society. And having that, when material things are abundant in a person's life, it tends to make us self-sufficient. And when you become self-sufficient, you tend to push God out and crowd Him out. And that's when you start that attitude of, I did it all myself. I owe this all to me. And that is wrong. When we leave God out, it's a terrible, terrible thing. Now, what about developing a thankful spirit? I found this little quote about 13, 14 years ago, and I apologize for not knowing who said it. I would love to give them credit for it, but I've never forgotten it, and it is such a blessing to me. Things turn out best for those who make the best of how things turn out. Let me read that again. Things turn out best for those who make the best of how things turn out. So how in the world do we develop a thankful spirit? Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to turn there to that, and if you want to race me to it, you sure can. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. I cheated. I had it marked. But Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. The first thing, if you're going to develop a thankful spirit, is to realize that thankfulness pleases God. The first verse of that psalm says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Thankfulness pleases God, and He takes care of us always. He never lets you down. He's never late. He's never early. He takes care of you and takes care of me. Now, the second thing I want you to look at is, in order to develop a thankful spirit, is to make a personal choice to be thankful. You have to make a special choice to be thankful. You make special time and special choices to do all kinds of things. How about setting aside some time to just be thankful to God? Ever since I got the shingles last year, how many of y'all had the shingles? Oh my goodness. Then you know how much pain it has. Ever since I had that, I've had some difficulty sleeping. And so I have developed a habit of, as I wake up in the morning, usually really early and it's still dark, I've developed a habit And habits, some habits are good. Of the first thing when I open my eyes is, thank you, Lord, for another night of rest and for the promise of this day. I mean, before I even began to ponder anything else, just give thanks to God that I got through another night, that I didn't disturb Donna so much, and that I'm okay, and I'm about to rise now and face another day. Thank you, Lord. And you know, I used to not do that until I had the shingles, because I was so busy and working so hard, I'd just jump up and take off. But that slowed me down. And I am thankful for that disease process, because it has caused me to be more grateful and thankful for what God's given me. And that's I think, something that we ought to develop. Then there's another thing we need to do, several other things, in order to get outside of ourselves and be more thankful, is be more forgiving of other people. Forgive others when they say things that hurt your feelings, or when they do things that you don't like. Some of it just inadvertently, they don't even realize they've done something to hurt you. Be forgiving. If someone has hurt you and they come up and ask for forgiveness, be sure and forgive them. That is what God likes, and that shows a thankful spirit. Another one is serve. Always be willing to serve. Don't sit back when things need to be done and let others jump in and do it. Be the first to step up and be a servant. You know, we had a deacon's meeting this evening, and the main goal of the deacon body is to serve. In many churches, it becomes a governing body, but I am thankful in this church that we, as deacons, serve. We do things that aid the congregation and aid God's work in this place. But every person needs to be willing to serve God in whatever opportunity they get. And the next one is to share. We talked about affluence a moment ago. If you have plenty and there's any left over, share it with someone. If you see someone in need, share with them that. You know, God requires of us to return unto Him a tithe. That's a command that He has, or to give to His work to support it. But He also honors blessing and blesses givings and offerings that are above that. Be willing to share with others in all kinds of ways. Financially, if someone needs a ride, if someone needs clothing, and we have a food pantry, if someone needs food, share out of your own abundance. Reach out to hurting people. Reach out to hurting people. While I was eating breakfast this morning, there was a lady called me that I know quite well. None of you know her, I'm sure, but she used to be in our church, and her husband died last night. And I hadn't seen him in over a year. He's been in a nursing home and then under hospice care. And you know what she said in her text? She just texted me, and she said, "Robert died last night." And I thought about that a moment, and I sent her a little short text back, and she said, "I'm just thankful that he's home with the Lord and not suffering anymore." In her bereavement, she is thankful to God. I hope we can all develop that. What a wonderful attitude that is, to reach out to hurting people. And to still, the last thing is to praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. We need to always do that. We don't need to just do it in here either. You can do it out in that world, and it makes a whole lot of difference. To say praise the Lord, or have a blessed day, or God be with you, or something like that. People will turn their heads if you say it to them enough, and they'll think, "What is he thinking, or what is she doing?" Yes, be open about it. Be open about it. It must make such a great difference when someone shares the thankfulness in their heart. Now, the second thing, or the third thing about developing this attitude, is to expand your thankfulness. Now, this is the hard part. It's easy to be thankful for good things, isn't it? It surely is. It's easy to be thankful for good things. It's a little harder to be thankful for not so good things. Probably every one of you in here has had some trouble in your life that has caused you discomfort, pain, suffering, either mental or physical. And in those times, it is very difficult, oftentimes, if you're not really close to the Lord, to be thankful, even for the bad times. And I mentioned this in our Sunday school class this morning. there is nothing that happens to you that has not been sifted through the hands of God. And that includes the bad things. Paul wrote to us in the 8th chapter of Romans that everything, all things, not leaving anything out, all things, are working in God's plan in your individual life to accomplish His will in your life. And some of that is necessary that is not really good, that we perceive it's not. In the end, it really is. But it is difficult at the time it's going on to understand why. If you've been laid up with an illness, or someone has died or been injured, or there's some travail in your life, maybe you got sued at one time for somebody or something, you can name any number of things, and you just say, why me, Lord? Why me? Well, remember, if you're His child, that's a part of His plan for your life. He desires to move you from where you are to where He wants you to be. And sometimes we're hard to move. And so it takes a little nudge from God to get us to move and do what He wants us to do. And on a humorous note, expanding our thanksgiving is like this. If you've got dirty dishes to wash, just remember you had food to eat. Think about it. So there may be some stuff in your life that's like dirty dishes, but remember, God is blessing you on the other end. Always blessing you on the other end. Now I've got some scripture I want to read to you before we close. And I'll give you time to look them up. And if you don't want to look them up, just write them down somewhere because they'll bless you. I'm going to start backwards in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 5 and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now that ties in with what we just said. In everything, give thanks. I'm sure many of you remember, or you've probably studied some of his writings, an old preacher and a theologian named Matthew Henry. I just love, I've got his commentary on my phone, and I've got it at home in print in a book, and I refer to it a lot when I'm preparing for things. And one time in his life, and he lived 250 years ago, one time in his life, he got robbed. We call it mugged nowadays, but he got robbed. And you know what he said about it? It's a pretty famous quote, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. He said, first of all, I'm thankful that I've never been robbed before. Isn't that great? Wasn't his second or third time, the very first time he was robbed. And he's also thankfully said, even though the man got his money, he didn't get much. After all, he was a preacher and he didn't have much money. So he said, even though he got my money, he didn't get much. The third thing was, he didn't kill me. And he could have, couldn't he? He could have beaten him to death or stabbed him or whatever. He was thankful that he was not harmed. What a tremendous blessing that is. And the last one that I think is so profound, he was thankful that he was robbed and not that he was the one who did the robbing. Isn't that amazing? In other words, he was true to God. He didn't turn into a robber, but he was robbed, and he was thankful for that. I've always thought that was so important from Matthew Henry. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to back up to Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Paul is here talking about walking in wisdom, and it's difficult just to pick one verse out like this because if you read three or four verses in front of that, it really means a lot to you. But I'm going to read just verse 20 in Ephesians 5. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, giving thanks always for all things. Sounds a lot like the verse we read in 1 Thessalonians, doesn't it? So in order to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness throughout the year, not just in the late part of November, you have to remember what all God has done for you and has taken care of you and watched over you all of these times that you've been in trouble, that you've had heartache, that's misery, you've had good times, you've been blessed with plenty. He has always, always, always taken care of you. Now the last one is in 2 Corinthians, so back up a little further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Second Corinthians 4, 15. Again, this is a place where very familiar scripture. If you start at verse 7, and you'll see Paul is giving a litany of things that have happened in his life and how it's turned out for the good. And in verse 15, he says this: "For all things are for your sakes," and he's referring back to the things he's been through, "that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Let me read that verse again. Let it sink in. "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Paul says, all I've suffered through has been to God's glory, and I pray that it spill over into your life so that you can have that kind of thankfulness through the travail and heartache and through the blessings of life that you experience. What a beautiful thing that really is. So Paul tells us here that thanksgiving is really expected of us. And I'll leave you with these three little thoughts and we'll close. Mark of a growing Christian is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. That's the mark of a growing Christian. The mark of a giving Christian is the result of thanksgiving. Being thankful for what God has done for you and allowing His work to continue through you. One thing we talk about on Wednesday night is God is willing to give it to those who are willing for Him to give it through. And that is a beautiful thing, the mark of a giving Christian. And then thanksgiving is also expected as the mark of a glowing Christian, one who just, the glory of God just spills out on other people that you're around. You know someone like that? When you're around them, you just know that God's doing a great work in their life. That is an example of thanksgiving in a growing Christian, in a giving Christian, resulting in a glowing Christian. I have a little laminated piece of paper here, and the reason it's laminated is that Donna took it and it's one of my very favorite passages of Scripture, and she thought so much of me that she had it laminated, and I use it as a Bible bookmark. And I'll close with this. It came from Habakkuk, or depending on which side of the tracks you came from, it could be Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills." Let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight that we would have thankful hearts. And the way that starts is knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because the kind of thankfulness that we've talked about, Father, coming from your word, is not the thankfulness of this world. So I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's any in here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they could see from the words that we've read here tonight, from your word, that there is something missing in their life, the joy of knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. And then for those in this room, Father, who do know you as Lord and Savior, help us to cultivate that spirit of thanksgiving, to remember whose we are. We're in your hand. For as long as we live on this earth, and then you'll guide us through eternity, we have nothing to lose. We have everything to gain. So let us live our lives before this lost and dying world and in the presence of our Christian brothers and sisters with an attitude of gratitude and a spirit of thankfulness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.